Yeah, we'll just follow up with any comments or thoughts or impressions of having read that marvelous conclusion, the consummation of glory. I mean, I don't know that I've ever, when I read that, and I thought, oh my gosh, when we got to do this in the assembly. So finally we got to it. But I just don't ever remember being so impacted by sitting in that conference in 1955 and being there. You know, just not just reading it, but just being a part of that event. So it's just a tremendous thing. So yeah, Lori, you have some things to share.
You were being saved. You were 11 years old.
Yeah, I was.
When you were saved.
That's when I was saved, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. So yes, Lori, go ahead. You share whatever you have in your mind.
Well, it's just where the Lord has me right now, it's just a little thing, I mean, that I'm going to read. When he says, come to the Lord Jesus in reality, make him your mediator, your savior, make him your Lord, and let him be your pattern, you know, to which the Holy Spirit is conforming you, and glory begins. It begins in your heart. And that's over and over. Keep coming to the Lord Jesus. Keep making him your mediator, your savior. So that's, you know, just to learn in every moment that... Of awareness of need, or whether it's need or worship or praising him or whatever, but just keep coming to him in reality. Again, not just reading about him, hearing about it during our times together, but in that moment, turning to him right then, when your natural man would do something else. Yet the natural man has a propensity to react or to doubt, or to not believe, or to be fearful, but turning right then. Just keep coming to him. Keep letting him save you. Not expecting to get any better or any stronger, but to just be making full use of that one that dwells within. That he's with us right there. Never leaving. You know, amazing.
Jesus saves me now.
He saves me now.
Comes from some saint.
Yes.
Anyone else?
In reading this, this was the message to the pastors and why this needs to be done in the church.
Yeah, that's good.
I just kept thinking of Germany and getting them realizing, you know, how often this and that passage too, where he's just talking about the church being the mediator of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, I'd pray for us that God would prepare us and synchronize us to mediate that which will bring to light in these pastors, that which would result in an environment where people who are coming out of this background have a place. Because, you know, we can do the counseling, but if they don't have a place where they can have a family and a home, I don't see anyone getting all the way through unless they're in a local church. I've never seen anybody yet. I don't know anybody that has.
And if they're in a local church, the local church needs to be able to be on board.
To do what?
To be on board with.
Yeah, well, it starts with the pastor, because he's a leader. He, whether he's personally involved or not, he would be overseeing, he'd be in sync spiritually, overseeing if he has somebody, if it's a larger church, somebody that he would take responsibility to train. And anyone that is serious about this, if they're not going to be there as pastors, they should send somebody there. You see? So they can receive from what God has given us. I mean, you know, how did you get to where you are? You didn't get to where because I'm such a genius counselor. You know, we go to South Africa, Doug Riggs Seminar. I mean, I almost shuddered. I'm not being critical. I mean, they didn't know how to do that. But I just felt very awkward because it's really about Morningstar. It should have been a Morningstar testimony seminar. But anyway, it's a church thing. It's a church matter, see. So this was really tremendous. Any other thoughts?
I think to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, it really struck me to see that he has a will, and his will lives in us.
And so what am I going to do with that will every day? What am I doing with that, with the sovereignty of His will living in me? Is He reigning in me in that will today? Is He doing that? Am I releasing Him in His will and that sovereignty today? You know, think of the people that we work with. You know, how many times the captive will. Well, where's the will of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, even yesterday, why is it God coming and do something? Well, maybe he already has done everything. He has done everything. And this is what we were talking about, is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of the church. There is something to be able to connect with internally, you know, with that life of Christ.
And they can only connect with that internally unless they need a transitional object, and that should be us that are doing ministry.
Right.
To
representing the church.
They connect there before they can connect internally.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Too. Representing who Christ is and saying, come out, come on.
Anything else?
How much of the work has been dependent upon someone else, like yourself, who has been able to spiritually deal with the creatures of darkness? You know, we can't come out of this thing in and of ourselves even unless these creatures are met with and dealt with in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes someone outside of yourself.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I know that I just think about the number of times whenever the Lord would lead you to pray warfare to deal with these creatures who have brought in such bondage.
Yeah, and the creatures can be seen like this. I mean, this is the way I see them, is that you take Lazarus, when he came out of that tomb, he was dead, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth bound, head to foot. He came forth bound. So in that picture there, he received life from Jesus. He was dead and he comes to life. There's the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. But why is he bound? Well, it's the church. He addresses that which would be the church. Unbind him and let him go. That's what this conference should be like. This, you, pastor, if you're not doing it, you need to mentor or you need to disciple someone who can begin to do this, because those that are SRADID in the church, your church will never prosper and attain its full purpose for which you are here as a church unless you deal with this issue of SRA. It's not going to happen, because that person represents a corporate throne position of Satan against anything that you represent. And you think you're going to go around this and farm this out to some other ministry or send them off to a psychologist when that person is set there so that to teach the church how to rule and reign? You know, whether they're all actively involved or not. You know, so the fact that the church either doesn't even recognize this, or if they do, they treat it as something peripheral. We've got our own agenda. We send these people off to the counselor. Those days have to come to an end. They have to. Because all the counselors that I know that are parachurch are not, they do not see what we see in this. And again, it's not because we're superior. It's because 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Church. And God defines what church is. And because we have done this on the ground of the church, or done this work, and answered God's call in this framework, God has honored that which represents church. And if we are out in front, and we are, to the degree that we are representing that which has been a history of doing this on the ground of the church, naturally we'll be ahead. Why? Because we've got some kind of gene. If it depended on me, in the 80s, I wouldn't have anything to do with anything that was even psychological. I mean, I thought it was all heresy. You know, I mean, I'm not even naturally equipped to this kind of stuff. So this is totally the Lord. And so each person has to really see the vision of the church. They have to see that where we are in this generation. They have to see that if God's going to, if the church age is going to be consummated, you're going to have to deal with this phenomenon. because it's not going to go away. And so, Pastor, you, I don't care. You say, well, I don't believe in this. Well, this is false memory syndrome. Yeah, well, you're listening to the mandates of the CIA. By the way, the false memory syndrome is a very strong adversary there in Germany. And it all comes out, this false memory syndrome is part of the CIA operation to cover up, you know, the works that they were involved with. So what we read today is just phenomenal. I want to read just something from Hebrews. Just one thing. Because you mentioned, Lori, about the present tense saving work of Christ. Jesus, who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, this is in Hebrews 7. The Old Testament priests they became priests on the basis of physical requirement. They could have no blemish, no physical blemish. And so that was the requirement. And then they died, and they had to be replaced. So Hebrews 7:15, and this is clearer still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who, referring to the Lord Jesus, has become such, not on the basis of the law of physical requirement, that's the Levitical priesthood, but he's become a priest according to the power of an indestructible life. Not this physical requirement, an indestructible life. Verse 23, the former priests on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Indestructible life, he holds it permanently, it's not temporal. Hence, also, he is able. And not some out there Christ, indwelling Christ. Able. He has the inherent power and capacity. He is able. That means all powerful, unlimited power. He is able to save completely, utterly, forever, those who, present tense, habitually draw near to God through him. That's a present tense salvation. Save daily. That's Romans 5:10. And if we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more certain is it, having been reconciled to God, we shall be saved, we, Christians, saved, in and by and through his life. So that's what he's talking about. So he says, he is able to save moment by moment, day by day, those who present tense habitually draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily like those, you know, high priests, the Levitical high priests who are such on the basis of the law. These priests need they had to offer daily, offer sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people, because this Jesus did once and for all when he offered up himself. The blood is himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of oath, Psalm 110, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. God's standard. We just read about that. God's standard of perfection for man. So, tremendous. So, anything else?
I think along with Dan Bush thing too.
Because Sparks says that the church is here to let them see what the Lord is like. Oh Lord, let us help us. How little they see what he is like. But that is what we are here for. We must seek him about this. We will. They'll not know unless they see it in his people. And so, as you were talking, that's so right. Is that there is something that is represented in his church, because I thought back at age 8 when I cried out to the Lord, Lord, how can you allow this? And at that moment, as an 8-year-old girl, he gave me the vision of the church. And so what does Satan do? I mean, how many times in the rituals does he say, call upon the God, Lord, call upon God? Well, it's such a mockery, because God is limited to his church and the glory of Christ that is released in his church. And so when we as a church is representing who Christ is, then I think we'll see what you've been asking the Lord to show to do.
Well, that's Morningstar status. That's Apostasis. Look at Esther 11. That will be the final response to the what's happened in this generation. Anything else? There
we go. He's limited, but he's chosen to work through the church. But, you know, we've had those instances. I know whatever happened in 2000, I mean, it wasn't through the church, but whatever happened there. But he's chosen to work primarily through the church in his dispensation.
Yeah.
He's still God, and he can do miracles and work outside of that.
Sure.
And I think we've seen that in brief occasions. Through all this, Satan would have killed us. He would have destroyed us in so many ways, but God has preserved our life.
Yeah.
What happened in 2000?
Oh, the ritual at Oral Roberts.
What?
I was supposed to kill her.
Oh, and the Lord intervened.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I fell down. I couldn't do it. I mean, it wasn't like righteously I couldn't. I just simply couldn't do it when I fell down. They were just going to rush upon us, and I think they would have killed us. But then there's just this tremendous light. They all just fell back. Dissipated everything. It was over. They just took us back home.
Subdued. Yeah. Just the manifestation of that. Glory that's already there, but it's still veiled.
Mm-hmm.
And God just pulled back the veil a little bit, and they were undone. And they shall be, when he comes to be glorified in his saints, well, he just let a little of that trickle out. Yeah, it was enough to flatten all those people out.
Yeah.
All right, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time in Jesus' name.